waltzed into anything. I didn't like to have, you know, like I didn't know that I was going to have a specific call time, but I didn't like committing to specific anything. And I was always late everywhere I went. So to have a disciplined and structured approach that was outlined in the 7 tools was a relief to me. And now my whole life is structured in discipline. I can apply this to every area. Then it says the CEAHOW groups have been formed, which was also used in the first sentence, in the belief that our disease is absolute, which means total and complete. And therefore, only absolute acceptance, which is surrendered, so total and complete surrender of the CEAHOW concept will offer any sustained abstinence to those whose compulsion has reached a critical level. So just a few more words. Compulsion is an irresistible urge to behave in a certain way, especially against one's conscious wishes. Every morning, I would wake up and say, today is the day, before I knew about CEAHOW. And then I would go about my routine and invariably find myself in the car going to the places to get the things. I didn't want to do that every day, but I didn't know how to not do it. And I was desperate, but I didn't have a solution or a way out. And then it says that a critical level is a threshold that signifies a significant change or point of concern in a system or situation. So this was, you know, the critical level for me was just hitting that place of desperation and not knowing what to do. I was practicing the 12 steps in another fellowship, and I didn't understand why it wouldn't work on food, but it didn't work on food for me. And then I'm going to go to the next sentence, and then we're going to open it up. It says, therefore, the CEAHOW plan of eating, steps, traditions, and tools of recovery are not suggested. Rather, we accept them as requirements for our own recovery. And requirements are something wanted or needed, something that is necessary. And to accept is to consent to receive, that I had to consent to receive that this program was going to be something that I needed and wanted and was necessary. And in other fellowships, they always talk about how there are no requirements, they're just suggestions. So I noticed that word right away, and I kind of went like that. I was like, wait a minute, I've not heard that before. But I needed to be able to accept the requirements of the fellowship and the program and the tools because I couldn't get any success on my own. So I did what was suggested, and God gifted me with that desperation, and then I became willing to surrender, and I was willing to do whatever was asked. And I think that I was surprised. When I went to my first meeting, there were people there with many, many years and decades. And I was like, wait a minute, these people have actually kept their weight off? Because I was always gaining and losing and gaining and losing and doing the next thing and having success. And then I just wanted to eat whatever I wanted and not gain weight. I didn't want it to affect my body, but it was. And I would do these programs and I would lose the weight. And I don't have to tell you, you know. So it was the maintenance that really attracted me to the rooms. And living in St. Louis, we don't have any in-person meetings, so everything I was doing was via Zoom and was introduced to PhoneBridge, which I do a little bit of. But anyway, I'm going to pause there. And if anyone would like to come up and speak about their experience with those two paragraphs, we'd love to hear from you. We'll do that for maybe 3 or 4 minutes.
Sure. I'm Carletta, compulsive eater. Thank you both for this workshop. I love the concept. And I realized as I was listening that I picked my sponsor because she's really quite the manifestation of the concepts. I was at an Area 2 assembly, and I had only been in program, I think it was like a year or so. And I had already progressed from kicking and screaming about what? Gotta do all this? I had already progressed from there by the time I met her. And I was looking at her and she had this way that was an attraction, a powerful attraction. It wasn't just that she lost weight, because she had, and it wasn't just that she had been abstinent for like a decade and a half at that point. It was this way of being present and this way, this energetic way, right? And so I said, oh, she has what I want. And so I talked to her at the assembly, and later I called her. And she said clearly when she was talking at the assembly that she was not available. So I called her and just chit-chatted and that kind of thing. And I said, you know, I know you're not available, but if you put me on your waiting list and when you become available, consider me, you know. And she said, you're funny. I'm going to take you on right now. And I said, oh, thank you, higher power. But it is that. It is that thing about the food is black and white. So I'm learning to live in the gray of life, that unmanageability, that out of control, not just with the food, but other aspects of life as well. So this concept has helped me grow with everything else, with all our seven tools and the steps. But it has helped me develop to grow into a human being that I enjoy being in my own skin. And that is what's come out of this program that's disciplined and structured. And the requirement part for me, that critical level, was like I had crossed, I had been other programs, was gaining weight in other programs. It was like I had already jumped out of the plane. So the requirement to pull the ripcord was just that, you know, either die or pull the ripcord. So I love our concept because it just gives me a life that I wanted but had no clue how to get there. So.
Would anyone else like to share, or shall we move on?
Move on? Anyone? Anyone? Okay.
Well, good morning, family. So grateful to be here. I've already heard so much. I'm Barbara. I am a compulsive eater, and I went to my first CEA HAL convention right here in California. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. It was the 2007, and you know, so for many, many years, I've listened and read this concept, and just hearing what people are saying when I think about something that's conceptualized. It's a thought, it's conceived, and then we get to live it, you know? So everything in here is, to me, it's like life, right? It's all about life. And what I just heard is this, that we get to live this life. So I'm going to talk a little bit about these next two paragraphs, but I'm going to read them and... Meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the HOW of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the CEA HAL ideal will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. It's a lot in that. So starting out with like meetings, and I was thinking about, and I don't know, you can raise your hand or not, but who has a home meeting? Like, do we all pretty much have a homey? And that word home, for me, if it's the ideal home, it's safe, it's secure, it's a place where I can get honest with other people who are at my house, where I can share, you know, where I can listen and be open. and that I can be willing. So I just like the idea that, and we have several meetings, but I think each of us might say or claim that we have a home meeting, a place where we just know we are at home, where we hear familiar voices, where we can cry and we can laugh. And I started out with the phone bridge, and years ago, I was in OA How, and there were live meetings. But what was so magical about the phone bridge meetings is, like, I couldn't see anyone's faces, but I could feel their spirit. Like, wow, we got a spiritual connection all the way from Atlanta to California to the UK, you know, because the commonality is that we have a similar situation going on here that we can talk about in a safe place. So the other thing is that this safe place, and it's this next paragraph where it says, we pray. So who are we praying to? Hopefully we're praying to a higher power. You know, we all come in with our higher power. Sometimes we get to that place of believing that it is not, you know, just the sponsor that's sponsoring us or the other people, but there is, in fact, a higher order. So we pray, though, that the collective group conscience and the love, and that's what I love about CEA How, is so much love. The idea of love and unity at meetings and when we gather, because we're not coming in here to be controversial. You know, we already dealing with a controversial issue, which is, like, I can't put down the food. This is stressing me out. It is a major pressure that's in my head. So we pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience. So we get to experience a new unity, because when I came in here, I was very divisive. With myself, especially. So much shame, you know, so much shame. I can't put down the food. And I am divisive because I'm not even clear. I'm so vague. There is no unity or union going on with inside myself. Because, you know, 1 month I'm on a diet. The next month I'm stressed out, exercising. You know, it's up and down. I don't know if anybody else has been on that roller coaster of compulsive thinking, doing, acting out with our food, and then acting. So there's no unity within me, right? So how can I even have a unity with a group conscience? But that happens when we get into these rooms and actually live in this ideal, you know, in this concept. So we do. We get to experience a new unity. It's like a rebirth. And a wholeness. I mean, I'm just grateful today that, you know, there's this wholeness that I feel, even sometimes when things are falling apart. And things fall apart a lot. But when we get in meetings and we hear the strength experience and, you know, the truth, the honesty, the willingness, and the meeting can be two people. So that's why I am going to pitch the connections. Making those phone calls while you're here, meeting people that you might not see for another year or two or whatever. You might not see again, you know, but to connect. It's real important. And I say that only because for years I was like, okay, let me make these three calls. If I leave a message, that's good enough. No, it's not for me today. That's just not good enough for me today. I really want to connect with people. I want to pick up the phone and, like, yeah, how you doing? What's going on? What's happening with you today? And we talk. And then the thing is, then you learn about other folks and their family and life, and you build that fellowship in that family. And that's what we get to do when we live this concept. I really believe that, because I'm living that concept, and it will help us to progress, not perfection. It's never going to be perfection, but we progress one day at a time in this program of recovery. On a daily basis. It's like any other type of practice. You know, you practice, and for years I practiced trying to get well on my own, you know, and I couldn't. To be certain, I love this, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program, as it is written in our literature. Like, I don't have to rewrite the literature. It's already written. It's good enough for me. You know, it is divine. And the structure of meetings, you know, we have a certain order. I remember, and I'm not, you know, not to digress, but I remember my first sponsor, and I remember she said that she couldn't lead a meeting. And I was like, oh, she's trying to get me to, and I just started in a program. I might have had 90 days of abstinence. So after 30 days, you can lead a meeting. It's a great thing. But yeah, there's structure in the meeting. I didn't have to come up with a script. I didn't have to, you know, it's all there. And that's the thing. Like, folks have already put time and effort and obviously a group conscience, right? Because no one's sitting here alone putting together meeting formats. None of this we have to do alone. So, but then we have to get to this place of structure, because when I came here, I was bananas, right? So now, you know, I'm a little bit calmer and I can actually have some structure, and the collective structure makes for a beautiful wholeness that we get an opportunity to participate in, you know, so that we can have this recovery one day at a time. So yeah, meetings. And we have so many meetings in CEA HAL, and we have so many, I guess, mediums. You got phone bridge, you got online, you got Zoom, you got hybrid, you got live, not as many. It's important to get to meetings to maybe step up and wherever you are, you know, get your home meetings to do more service, because it's just going to benefit, you know, the recovery of you, your sponsors, sponsees, and everyone in the fellowship. So, and at this time, if anyone would like to share on that paragraph, meetings are dedicated, anything that came up for you, I'm going to.
We have more handout.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
No, some people came in later. We have more handout.
Anyone didn't get a handout?
Good morning. I'm Elizabeth, compulsive eater.
Hi, Elizabeth.
I feel so grateful. First of all, thank you, ladies, very much. I go to 3 live meetings a week, and I'm about to start a 4th. A maintenance meeting. That's going to be hybrid. So as soon as I have the details, I will let you all know. I need meetings. I need people. I struggle to be on Zoom and not do everything else on the planet. I've heard people say in the world of Zoom, you need to be sitting in the chair and focusing. It's very difficult for me. I have a bit of an addiction to productivity, and I want to vacuum and food prep and... You know, I don't really count that as a meeting, but sometimes I just need to hear the message. And the reason that I compulsively eat is I'm looking for the ease and comfort that the substance gives me. Ease and comfort. So why do I keep coming back? I keep coming back, and I've been in and out for 36 years with 50 days of abstinence. I keep coming back because nothing else gives me that ease and comfort other than the sugar and the flour and the fried food and the quantity. Or all of this replacement stuff. You know, I went to an eating disorder therapist who said, oh, you need community and you need this and you need to do volunteer work. And I'm like, oh, Hal has all of that. And... it's not $150. Oh, and so I'm just grateful I have the willingness to be here again, grateful for in-person meetings, grateful that you ladies got on a plane, my goodness, and thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Pat. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Pat.
Hi. The things that stuck out to me were a collective group conscience, a strong sense of security, new unity, wholeness, and progressing in the program. And I think that the reason those stood out to me is that they all talked about a sense of community and unity. And what I discovered is the very first conference that I ever came to, I was very new to the program. I think my group was very excited to send me here, help me get here. I said it felt like they were standing like Little House on the Prairie, clapping and waving to see me head off. It's very exciting. And I think they were tired of service and they were glad to have somebody new stepping in. Okay, fast forward 3 years. Now I'm more active in service. And as we even in our local home group try to decide how we're going to progress, is what kind of a study are we going to do? What book are we going to choose? We had to look up what is conference-approved literature. We had to talk about what effects see how as a whole versus our just little community since we're a hybrid. And all these different things are what does service look like? And I've been a chair for this committee for some things. And you get people that volunteer and back out. And you get people that say yes and then don't show up. And so it's been that thing of where I've had a lot of emotions. And, you know, and it's been that sense of I'm tired. I feel irritated. I'm resentful. And what this has done is I don't feel that sense of, you know, unity and all these things, but it's an area of irritation. Someone recently said, God puts a spur under your saddle every now and then to give you that sense of, you know, you need to change and grow. And that's what this has been for me, is that I wanted the serenity and I realized I had a choice. And I'm real big on that idea of choice, willingness, surrender. So I've been weighing that a lot through this process to get me to a place where with these people that I don't agree with, may not like, may have their own issues, that I can come to a place where they don't live in my head. I don't feel resentful towards them. And one of my questions in the As Bill Sees It, the last part of the book, it talks about learning to love their best and not to fear their worst. And I think that I have, in this process leading up to this convention, if I've turned to God here and here and here. It's like he and I are talking a lot lately. But it's a gift. It is helping me realize I have a choice to be serene, and I want that. And the wanting it is giving me the willingness to do what it takes in the program to have it. And I am so grateful for the peace that I can feel a sense of unity with all of you.
Amen.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And can you sign right here real quick?
Pat,
we'll use the other sign.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I stole a pen. What you said, great, Kate.
Anyone else want to share? This is so divine. I'm hearing some great stuff here. Anyone else want to share their experience, strength, and hope around the CEA How concept? Anything that came up for you in the reading? And here's a...
How are you doing? Welcome.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Just sharing what comes up on the...
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we just read the third and fourth paragraph. And you want to go ahead and...
Sure.
Okay, so...
If no one wants to share at this moment, I'll move on. I did want to say about what Barbara just read, the structure of meetings. I love that I know when I go to a CEA How meeting that the structure is the same. Now, it might be a pitch. It could be a big book study. It could be, you know, a speaker meeting. But the steps, the traditions, the concept, and the tools are going to be read. And then the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. And when I first got here, and, you know, like many of us, I had all of these recipes that were void of that one particular substance, and I didn't understand why I couldn't keep eating them. And my sponsor at the time who got me started very lovingly kept directing me back to Forever Abstinence. And then the light bulb went off because she said, if it's not in that book, we don't eat it. And I was like, Oh, okay. I thought I was just doing that thing again because I had abstained from that substance on my own for 14 months and I was a crazy person still. Because this is a spiritual program and it's a spiritual solution. And that's what I really, really needed. And then I hear people say, you know, they came for the vanity and stay for the sanity. And I like that little phrase. So we'll pick up where it says each group. I love this. Each group also firmly understands. No. Yes. Sorry, I had to get my notes going. That after our recovery has begun through abstinence and. So in the beverage program, I thought if I put the plug in the jug, that was the end game. And then I learned that that was the beginning. Same thing for me here. Putting down the food and committing to the food plan is just one of the things that I do and the taking of the first three steps. So I can't do one without the other. Our further surrender, which we talked about that word, well, we didn't talk about it. It is to cease resistance to and submit. So our further surrender and submission to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. So I think about how we recover on all three levels and all area of our lives. So the promise is something specified that is expected to occur. So this is a promise, just like when it says to be certain, that is a promise. Happiness, the state of being happy. Contentment is a state of happiness and satisfaction. And then achievement is a thing that is done successfully, typically by effort, courage or skill. So when I think about happiness, happiness was always fleeting because it was tied to something material primarily. And I would achieve that material thing and I didn't feel the happiness that I thought I should be feeling. And what I learned is the difference between that and joy. And joy is really what I feel like they're talking about when they say happiness and contentment and kind of combine those together, because to be content means I'm going to be happy with where I am and what I have, and then that produces that feeling of joy. So I've gone through very difficult things that are hard, and I learned that I can go through them and still have a heart of joy while I struggle through and while things might be a little messy, and that my happiness is not any longer dependent upon material things or persons, you know, places and things. And I'm grateful for that today. And then to be able to do something successfully through effort and courage, there's a lot of things that we do in this program that take courage for us to step out. I mean, even the questions that we start in the beginning take a lot of courage for us to put that pen to paper every day and self-reflect and to gain awareness. And I love that. And then I know that no matter what, in all the areas of my life, I can still have these three promises of happiness, contentment, and achievement. Even when life gets lifey and the people around me are doing or behaving in ways that I don't like, that my internal okayness is no longer dependent upon those things. And that brought a lot of freedom into my life. And I think about the mind, spirit, and body because we recover physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So I never want to forget that this is not just a way of eating or a diet plan, but that this is really about a compulsion, a physical allergy, and a mental obsession, that the only cure for that is a spiritual solution. That's really my problem, right? And then, you know, the food plan is the how of how I get myself rightly related with what I'm doing every day from an action-taking perspective. And then that surrender each morning. And I still ask God to keep me surrendered and willing every day. And I have not gone back out since I came back in October of 2023, but I listen to the people who have, because they have experience, strength, and hope that is helping me to remember that when I consider, because my mind is still sick, you know, that I might want to pick something up and put it in my mouth that isn't the best for me, that I'm really not going to be doing myself any favors. And I've never not regretted not doing that. And I so appreciate the fact that this program is here and the only requirement is that desire to stop eating compulsively, that everyone is welcome no matter where we are in our journey. I just happened to be at a place where this was the last house on the block for me. But I love to hear the stories of those who have come and stayed or maybe left and come back because it's an extremely powerful reminder. And then there was one other thing that has escaped me, so it must not have been important. We will, again, open it up for anyone who would like to comment and share on any part that has been read, because I know some people came in later. So if something in the earlier paragraph stuck out to you, please feel free to share on that. And then Barbara will wrap up the last two. And remember to just sign after you share.
I just wanted, this is Barbara, I'll make a comment. I was just thinking about, you know, when I think about, you know, we come in here and, you know, it says here, so the recovery begins with abstinence and taking the first three steps. And then we just continue, as I heard, we keep coming back. And why do we stay? And I had this thought about, like, if somebody, you know, let's just say you had an opportunity to come into a place and you were promised, well, if you just stay for 30 days, I will guarantee you that all of whatever was bothering you will go away. And you're like, sure, okay, I'm down with that. You know, it might be whatever, you know, and each of you might have something in your mind, like even right now, like what is that thing that I would like, that pressure that I would just like to go away? Most of us came in here, and not all of us, to lose the pressure of obesity and the weight and then the, you know, just the having to do it all the time, you know. Gain weight, lose weight. So it's like, wow. So you're telling me that I could stay here for 30 days and maybe shed a few pounds and that's all I got to do? I ain't even have to give you any money. I'm actually going to get something back without really having to give you anything but my willingness to do it. So I'm going to just take these first three steps. Okay, I can do these first three steps. So, but then we want more of this, right? So if we want more of it, we have to, like, on a daily basis, just keep moving forward, you know? So the further surrender, again, this concept says we further surrender. And we further surrender by coming back every day. And we do the dance. We do the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 is amazing. Because I get to do that continually every day. I just did a reading and writing in another program that has to do with money. It's a HOW too. So, but the financial inventory, I mean, we take an inventory of what's in our closet, you know, for those of us who like fashion, right? So we take a lot of inventories, but, you know, taking that personal inventory every day where you can sit with your sponsor and your higher power and actually say, you know, I'm having a challenge with this, but I do a balanced one. I do challenges, what have I contributed, and what am I celebrating? And that's that further surrender where, at the end of the day, we get to live this life of happiness, contentment, achievement. Oh my God, some things that you just never thought you'd be able to do. Cause I was a fantasy. I mean, I don't know if that's a word, but I lived in fantasy. Dreaming big dreams. You know, I was Dorothy in the fifth grade. So I was over the rainbow living in the Wizard of Oz, you know. You know, but all you got to do is click your heels 3 times, Dorothy, and there's no place like home, because there ain't no place like CEA Howe. So, you know, why do we stay when we leave? Because sometimes we want to leave while we're staying, right? It's because at the end of the day, at the end of the air, at the end of the rainbow, you know, we can, in fact, have all of these things. This is like not a fantasy anymore for me. This is real. This is real. I'm living my best life. I'm 63. My son is here. He came to visit with me. He lives in Seattle. This is my best life. And I'm looking forward to living even more once I retire, do some more CEA Howe work, and be with these fabulous people who are saving my life. So, you know, this concept is a living, breathing document that I did not have to write. I just got to live it. And I would love to find out the history of this concept. I don't know. So maybe somebody in this room has any information about that. I didn't do that in terms of, but I just thought about it. It's like, I'd love to find out who actually, but I guess it was a group of folks and who knew who they were and what we are and what we needed. And this is what I need right here, you know? So anyway, that's what came up for me. Anybody want to share? Oh, can we take the mic too?
You want to come to the mic?
Okay. I'll do my best. Barbara Dupas. Is it talk loud?
Because you're from New York.
I won't turn around too, because I'm really sorry I missed so much of this meeting, but you triggered something that I just want to share, and you ask who wrote. I'm not even sure I know what year.
This is the CEA Howe
concept. Ray Z used to say when I was still new, I got to work a lot with her, which was just such a privilege. And she would tell newcomers, "We'll give it 30 days, and if you don't like it, we'll give you back your misery." So I kind of triggered to say that based on what you were saying about, and you said it so much more beautifully about the 30 days and where we are when 30 days happens, and that we stay because we like what where we've gotten in 30 days. We want more of the same. So I don't know if Ray and Fred S., who founded our program or who wrote the concept, but they surely contributed a lot to what it says. And I'm afraid I'm on the cord now, so I do need your help to give this back to you and roll away.
All right. I got it. And then we just need you to
sign. I'll do that.
If you just, yep, ease it. That, you got it. Just
turn.
Oh, yeah.
I got it.
Mm-hmm. Wait.
Thanks, Shirley.
Mm-hmm. And I'll bring you the form.
Just sign my name.
Can't do that. That's not honest.
I did a quick Google search. You want to talk about it? You share with us, Shirley. I'd rather hear from you. No?
Not now.
Okay. Just quickly, the concept is believed to have originated from an idea conceived by Father Dowling in the early 1960s, focused on a program that combines spiritual principles with abstinence from addictive substances like sugar, flour, and controlling quantity. This approach emphasizes the belief that compulsive eating is an absolute disease requiring an absolute acceptance of the CEA Howe concept for sustained abstinence. And it goes on. If anyone's interested, I can share that. But I thought I would just quickly Google and see what we could find.
And you reach, great job.
Beautiful. How are we doing on time?
We're doing great. We have 15 minutes. I don't know if we'll need it all, but does anyone else want to share before we go into the last two paragraphs?
Yeah. Who's it? Oh, somebody wanted to share?
Yeah. Can you touch on what you said about the balance or three things? One of them was celebrating, like your night in your prayer.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it's celebrations, contributions, and challenges. And I usually start out with the challenges. And I might not have any challenges, but it's unlikely. I mean, before my son came here, we had a conversation. And I found myself, you know, anytime you get, and somebody used the word irritated, was it? Like that little itch of irritation, it's like, oh, I need to check that and see what's going on with you. I had a sponsor once who she would say, she's like, so what part did you play in that? And she would say it so lovingly. That's what I do really love about this program. You know, our sponsors, and we learn from our sponsors, right, how to be able to say things in a way, because of so much of the shame I placed on myself, it was real easy for me to shame other people, to see that critical, you know, that critical nature in myself really was about me. You know, so if I'm looking at you, what is it? You spot it, you got it. And lately that's been coming up. Oh, I must got a lot of stuff I still need to work on, okay? So yeah, you spot it, you got it. Yeah. So yeah, challenges, celebrations, contributions. And it's like I do five. And again, I might not have any challenges, but it's good to balance out your inventory. Like, what did I do good today? Did I open the door for somebody and didn't expect them to say thank you? Okay? Because that's what we really do expect, right? If I open the door for you, because I've done that, it's like, okay, I did hold the door for you. Can't you say thank you? People looking at me like I'm crazy. But can I just open the door and not expect anything? Yeah, so, yeah. All right, so the last two, let's see. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive eating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. Wow. Yeah, the word forever sticks out for me, because that means forever and ever, you know, it's eternal. And what comes up for me also is that this is where, you know, we're letting go of that whole idea that we got this and that we're doing this on our own. And that, because I've never been able to do anything like this, which is to maintain almost 100 pounds alone. You know, and that was the second time around. So, and it's amazing to hear, like, where people have, yes, reduced physically, but then it's the other stuff that we get to maintain. Although I'm still working on cussing, God did give me, so I got this divine idea the other day in the car, because I live in Atlanta, and I know all over the world people know about crazy traffic in Atlanta, right? It's like, oh, that traffic in Atlanta. And I'm like, okay, I can take this four-letter word and make it something else, right? Because really, cussing is an aggression. It's an irritation. When I'm cursing, when I'm using bad language, and I do, I'm just not proud of it. It's because something inside of me has become stressed. So is there another loving way of saying that four-letter word? It's a lot of words that are four letters that are bad language that I have used. And I'm really asking God to help me in that way. So this is like where I am knowing that God can do for me, just like God has done for me in everything, especially around this program. That's the thing. I can ask for help, four-letter word, right? Help. And I had a sponsee in another program. And when she broke that humility thing down, she's like, yeah, I never thought about it like this. Humility is saying, I don't know. I don't even think I know. I need help. And that's what this forever thing is, this relationship. You know, this is like, I am forever aware when I am clear. And what helps me to be clear is that I'm going to, you know, it says that we ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive eating, right? So my sustained abstinence from compulsive eating is in direct relationship with how I know forever in a day that God is doing for me what I could never do for myself. What a loving parent to be hanging out with every day.
don't get me to say hallelujah up in here, but really, yes. I mean, every day I'm walking with God. Because God put me here. I didn't know I was going to be. I don't know if anybody else knew they were going to be here today. Like, at whatever. No, meaning is this form of who you are. I didn't know that. And then that I got this journey. And I always say, obviously, my ancestors and folks who knew that when I didn't know, which is that they were channeling into their higher power. And I think about all of those who have gone. My mother, who was the first person who made me aware that obviously I had an aggressive appetite because she was an overeater as a child and they used to tease her. And so this whole, you know, what is it, body image, right? So being very, very aware that, you know, I developed earlier, that I had rounded hips and buttocks and that I was ashamed of it, you know? And as I got older, you know, even though my weight was never like, it was just how I felt about myself. And I'm going off topic, but at the end of the day, those who prayed for all of us that we don't even know and how, because I would say, how did I get here? So somebody must have been praying for me because I'm here and I'm in another program and probably need to be in some others. But that the big deal is that God is forever here. God is forever here and with us. And as long as we stay aware of that, whatever it is that's going on, I just feel like, you know, the traffic in Atlanta, the situation with the airplanes. And the other thing that I do now more than ever is that I'll call y'all and say, pray for me because you have a higher power. And it's okay to say, you know what, I'm going through whatever. Because we are forever aware that God is all over and definitely in this program and in all of us. It's an extension. It's that like cell phone battery that never dies. It's on all the time. And we have people all over the world. You know, I'm blessed. I'm now sponsoring somebody in another country. And I didn't know how we were going to figure this thing out. And I was like, okay, she's 9 hours away. What are we doing with this? But I get up early every morning. It's worked out. So we're able to connect. You know, we can make a way, find a way to make it happen when we are willing, when we are open, minded, honest with ourselves, with God, with our sponsors. You know, we can do that. It's just, it is the easier, softer way, because otherwise we just tricking ourselves, you know? So may God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifest in this room. Amen. 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 Right? I mean, I don't have to say anything about that. I don't need to say anything about that. It's already said. So thank you all for this precious time. So who would like to share on or any part of the concept?
Yes, come on out.
Eva.
Okay. Hi, I'm Eva. Could you hear me? I can't bring that thing down. That's one of the gifts that I have. God made me short. And you know, I'm real grateful, and thank you, you guys. You really helped a lot. You know, I was in a skid last night, and my word was freedom. When I came in to see how, before see how, I was miserable, but I didn't know why, you know? And I didn't know that I was a compulsive either. But I've been a compulsive since I was a baby. And one of the things that my parents did for me, they gave me sugar as an infant. And it wasn't that I came in big. I was just crazy, you know? I had so much shame because when I had to go speak at my other program, I would get lost. And I really label myself dumb, stupid, and ignorant because that's what my parents, my dad told me. And I believe that. And then when I get introduced to CA Health, it took me a long time to really look at my, that I was a compulsive eater. It wasn't that easy for me because everybody said they lost 100 pounds, they lost 200. And I felt like, well, what's wrong with me? You know, but what was up was the sugar. I was always like a rabbit. I didn't know how to stop. I mean, I could go home and take care of three kids, clean the house, and still continue. But I was so, I didn't allow myself to get tired because I grew up with that addiction. Sugar and flour did affect me. And I didn't know, and I thought it was Ray S., but I didn't know who she was. Yeah, I was scared of the lady, you know, because she was really, really assertive and, you know, and she was that authority that I grew up with. And, you know, and I'm so grateful I went to the in-person and over there in Downey. They had it in the bank. And I hated to go there, but I had to go. Then I had to go to the one that was 100 pounders. But you know what I got from that one was that I didn't have to share. See, it was a way for me to escape. But I love to hear the stories because, you know, one makes me different and unique. It doesn't. I could have got up there. But, you know, I never stopped coming to CA Health. And I came in 2006. And I got a sponsor. I went down. I lost almost 60 pounds in less than 2 months. But I knew that wasn't right. I knew something was wrong. And I was getting in touch with all these emotional feelings. A lot of roller coaster. So I went back into the food. Because, see, I couldn't recognize that those feelings were coming up. And I didn't know how to deal with them. And, you know, so I stopped. And I kept going to meetings. I went to Big Books. I'm grateful that I stuck around. I never left. But I came with a lot of shame. And, you know, the concept, I love the concept. Because he talks about, you know, I have to look at me. I'm no different than the person next to me. But do I want to continue in that addiction? And today I feel so free. Today I have big challenges that I have to go through, but I'm not picking up the food. Why? You know, I mean, I had two major surgeries. I had brain surgery. The power of prayer, my God. My husband was so confused because they had two other programs and plus CAL. He says, I'm tired. I can't do this. People are calling me left and right. But you know what? If it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't have made that brain surgery, you know? And I wouldn't, and then I had COVID. You see, so God had a journey for me, but I was able to listen to that and really be humble that it was in my time. And today I could walk in here and I already got numbers from people. I even went to my culture, sat down, and I had a great time with two other ladies, you know? Because I learned that I have to reach out. And the biggest gift was I couldn't park my damn truck in the parking lot. I was pissed and mad. I mean, I was like, so forget, I'm going to go home. I can't find the name of the hotel. But it was funny because me and this lady, we crossed each other. And then I was able to reach out my hand. And she's lonely. And I gave her my phone number because I was able to do a 12 step to get out of myself. And I was in tears because what she was going through, I could feel her pain. Because when I came in here, I came with a lot of pain. And the first time I came to the convention, nobody was talking. Everybody was in their groups. And I go, well, what am I doing here? Nobody's talking. Nobody's recognizing the newcomers. And that's how I felt. But this time, third time around, I feel this is my home. I feel I could go up there and talk to people without testifying that they should come up to me. You know, that ego pride. We talk about it in the concept, you know, hey, you know. But I was able to realize that I want people to know who I am and not be afraid, you know. And I want to get a lot of different meetings, too, because I love to go to meetings. But I like to venture out, you know. I love the phone bridge. You know, I did a lot of leadership. I did interview. I did everything. But I need more, you know. I need to venture where people will know who I am and not sit in the back of the curtains, you know. And I'm grateful for all of you, and I love all of you. And thank you for the panel. It was really great.
Thank you, Eva. Thank you so much. I love you.
Anyone else?
Oh.
I was just looking. We have officially 2 more minutes. So we
real quick.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. It's an alcoholic, but I am an alcoholic. I probably would be at an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting right now. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you for doing this panel. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I was 22 years sober when I stumbled into CETA. Yes, I will. All the time I get reminded. I don't want to be heard. That's the truth. I don't want to be heard. Anyways, I was 22 years sober when I asked one of my fellows in a meeting, how are you losing that weight? You know, because I'm curious. And I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And her response was, if you want to know what I'm doing, come with me. Where? Where? Where do you go? It was such a secret. I thought, oh my gosh, she's in some kind of cult or something. So I consistently followed her until I ended up at Cole in Santa Monica on a Sunday morning where there must have been 150 people in that room. And I thought, what the heck is this? And some of those faces are still here right now. Anyways, I walked into that room full of pain and guilt and shame because I'm thinking, I'm 22 years sober. Why am I feeling the way that I'm feeling? I was nuts. And I heard really nuts doing crazier things than I did yesterday. I heard Barbara speak about the profanity. I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous with a mouth full of profanity. And I'm from the Pacific Group, and my sponsor said, you mean to tell me you speak to people like that, and you put food in your mouth like that, with that language coming out? So I don't do that anymore. I don't use profanity. And when I catch myself saying the poop word, I go, oh, I'm not supposed to do that. But anyway, I'm so grateful that I... yeah, I don't do that anymore. Anyways, back to when I came into the room, I started off with service. I walked into that gym, and there was a lady setting up chairs, and I had no idea, like I said, what this program was about. And I started helping her putting up the chairs. And that's what has kept me here, honestly, because when I'm in service, I am not running off at the head. I'm not putting food in my mouth. I don't think about it. My schedule is really cuckoo. I start my day late. I don't take any calls until 9 o'clock in the morning because I like to sleep in. And then I'm up till 11 o'clock at night. So I have a late breakfast, a late lunch, and sometimes a late dinner. And it keeps me busy, keeps me from thinking about all those insane things. But the questions, I think that's why when I was coming out of Alcoholics Anonymous meetings and feeling the way that I felt when I got here, we didn't have any questions. I found the answers here at CHOW. And that's why I'm so grateful that I stayed around. I never thought about leaving. I wanted more. And that's why I do the things that I do today, because it brings me so much joy and peace. And I get to be with my family, my extended family, because my original family, they don't have anything to do with me. I'm too spiritual. And that's okay. That's who I am today. Again, thanks to all of you for being here. I love seeing you, and have a great rest of the day.
Thank you, Shirley.
So we're going to wrap it up.
Oh, yeah. I thought Shirley was going to close there. She did such a good close. Here. You can close it. I got distracted.
Okay.
Well, listen, I just want to thank Rhonda for asking me, first and foremost, for being a part of this panel. And thank you all for being here today. And we'd like to end with maybe the third step prayer. If you'd like to, let's just, yeah. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Amen. All right. Enjoy the rest of the convention.